Are you looking for a book to boost your child's self-esteem and image? Listen to what six-time Emmy Award winner and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Sean Duperin has to say about the Journey of Joy children's book series. She says, quote, "It's inspiring to find a children's book series that gets to the heart of why we're here and to enjoy life's journey. It is truly compelling. It reinforces your child's strong sense of self, the essence of what every parent wants for their precious child. I highly recommend," end quote. The four inspiring and beautifully illustrated books in the Journey of Joy children's book series, authored by Beth Donnelly and Dagny Grant, can be found on Amazon.com. Sharing the wisdom of positive I am statements, these books are titled I Am Enough, I Am Unique and Awesome, I Am Great, and I Am Brave. Pick up a set for the children in your life today. Just go to Amazon.com and enter Journey of Joy series. That's Journey of Joy series.
Sounds wonderful.
Welcome to the Echoes of the Universe radio show, brought to you by Matrix Productions. Conscious conversations with Dagny Grant and Beth Donnelly, sharing thought-expanding moments to nourish your soul.
Hello, and welcome to Echoes of the Soul Radio, brought to you by Matrix Productions. This is Beth Donnelly, and I'm here with my co-host, Dagny Grant, and we are really ready and excited to interview two illustrious guests on our show today, transformational being expert and metaphysical luminary, Harrison Klein, and facilitator of personal development and awakening, Maureen St. Germain. Well, you may be familiar with them individually, but if you are not, here's a bit of info about each of them. Harrison Klein has been called the master's master and the world's leading I am identity expert. He specializes in the alignment laws of the universe and their applications for greater wealth, action, and effectiveness. A former university instructor, marketing director, personal growth entrepreneur, leadership and business development coach, he is a media personality now on the internet, radio, and live events. He has worked with world thought leaders, CEOs, entrepreneurs, politicians, doctors, healers, athletes, and celebrities. His spiritual teachings have positively inspired and changed the lives of tens of thousands of people worldwide, and he has been globally recognized in articles, newspapers, magazines, radio, TV, and award-winning films. And now, Maureen St. Germain is a facilitator of personal development and spiritual awakening. As a seeker, she shares the knowledge she has gained from over 25 years of study in ancient truths. Maureen leads amazing sacred journeys and is known for her books on ascension, Akashic Records readings, the Merkaba meditation, and the Flower of Life. Maureen is also a master numerologist and spiritual consultant. Leading workshops and tours since 1994, Maureen has developed an impressive array of practical tools to assist individuals in applying quantum physics using sacred geometry. Maureen's workshops and seminars are in demand all over the world. So there is quite a pair. So why are they here together? Well, it's something very special. They will be talking about a higher consciousness event. And before we find out all about it, I'd like to bring out my co-host, Dagny Grant. Hey, Dagny, how are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. And it's a beautiful day here in Southern California. And all is well. It's really exciting to do this. I'm excited to do this show with Harrison and Maureen. They're both amazing people and teachers, and have in their own right have really remarkable experiences to share. But together, it's quite a powerhouse, and we're really excited about bringing this to our audience, this Gateway to Higher Consciousness event that they're doing in the beginning of May. And, you know, you and I always love to bring topics that, you know, are about the power of expansion and higher consciousness to our audience, and this is really a beautiful opportunity to to share a great experience with our audience. So, yeah, looking forward to getting this party started.
Oh, me too, Dagny. You know, and I agree. We love talking about higher consciousness. And, you know, I have to say that I'm more aware that I'm perceiving life as it unfolds in kind of a more relaxed and trusting way these days. I don't seem to be like jumping to, oh, no, this is or that is what's happening to me. I'm more likely to not resist, but to be open to the possibilities, you know, to kind of trust that I can use whatever is coming into my experience for something that's good, and it's always an opportunity to grow. And, you know, more likely than not, I can find opportunities for kindness and empathy and even miracles in those things that happen. But, you know, I know how it feels when we allow negative energy to kind of get us down. And there are probably a good number of people out there in our audience who are not participating in life at their, well, authentic level. Maybe they're dissatisfied or hurt or angry or even fearful. And I can imagine that the two people that we're going to talk with today have had a good deal of expertise at helping people remember who they are. So let's bring out our guests onto the show now to tell us all about their reunification workshop, May 6th through 8th in Parkland, Florida. And now for an explosion of light, welcome Harrison Klein and Maureen St. Germain. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Harrison. Hi, Maureen.
Thank you for having us today.
Oh, of course. Thank you. We're really happy to have you on the show. And I think we'll start with Harrison, maybe. How did you two come together to create this Gateway to Higher Consciousness event, Harrison? How did you and Maureen get together on this?
You may have to ask Maureen on that.
I don't. Okay.
It all blends together. I mean, you know, I've known Maureen for a while now and been impressed. And I don't remember the exact details of how we started this, but I know that it was sort of destined to be. We had a good experience with each other. Maureen, you may know the details a little better than I do.
Just jump right in there, Maureen.
Are you on?
Did we lose Maureen?
No, you did not. Yeah. I had my phone on mute, so I wasn't disturbing you. I was starting to say, Harrison and I did a summit together, the World Intuition Summit, where Harrison brought together spiritual teachers and intuition experts and bridged the gap, if there was one. And he and I had such electric chemistry on our together experiences that we knew we wanted to work together. And that was many years ago. And, you know, just as life would have it, we've continued to work together and create and build what we wanted to present. And so what I see us doing as a unit in this reunification is, again, building some bridges, because Harrison's got a very specific expertise on helping people align with the spiritual principles and the spiritual truth. And I have a very special gift to explain why these things work and how they work, and then to help people get a conscious ownership. So those two together are going to be like, kaboom!
I love that. Well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You can just call me Mr. Big Bang.
Well, Maureen, I love that. It sounds like this event that you guys are planning will be really packed with some amazing transformational content, ranging from success, consciousness, spirit, to profit principles. So I'd love it if we could talk about these one at a time today. Again, starting with you, Maureen, I'd love to have you describe for our audience what you intend to share regarding consciousness principles.
What I intend to share regarding consciousness principles is the idea that consciousness is evolving and that we can shift and change it, that we have the capacity by choice to shift and change awareness and perception in such a way that it literally transforms the reality around us, the reality that we receive and interact with. And with the activation of the voice ownership that Harrison teaches, it's going to escalate it into a whole nother level. I'm very focused on the mind and how the mind perceives, and allowing, creating a space where the mind and the heart work together. And Harrison's very capable and works in the arena of helping the person step into that power with conscious language. And so, you know, everything we're teaching, we're going to be teaching, like, I'll take this part, you take that part. And we're going to be so tandem that, you know, I'm not sure we can actually draw the line. So maybe there's another area that Harrison wants to address that he thinks we're going to be covering.
Well, yeah, I'd love to hear that's great. I'd love to hear what Harrison is thinking about what you guys will share regarding the consciousness principles, too. That'd be great.
Well, you know, once we develop a vision for ourselves, things become so clear. It'll be like having a new pair of glasses that we didn't realize our old prescription was outdated. So really the process of getting higher consciousness is creating the foundation for all of success. It has to do with our self-image. It has to do with the ability to accept new beliefs. It has to be with the right time. Right now is the right time to change habits of the way we think and the way we feel, because the entire planet is going through an energy shift. Everything that's happening right now is awakening our inner processes, our inner hero and our inner heroes. And the shining part of who we are is emerging as a species. And it takes a little bit of prodding sometimes for some people to get that out. But as we reunify the lost parts of ourselves, the disowned parts of ourselves, we access higher frequencies. We dissolve negative beliefs. We set higher standards. We feel life at a deeper level. We create attention magic, if you will. We communicate with the future, and we release our preoccupations so that we can actually focus on what is servicing not only ourselves but all of humanity. And the bigger visions we have for humanity is where we want to go with our true whys, you know, our true reasons for being on this planet: love, intimacy, health, career, and family. So as we expand ourselves into this place, we go from limiting beliefs, which is where most people try to make a change in their lives. They try to find what their limiting beliefs are and change that, to limitless beliefs, which we have for a lifetime. Once we step into the place of limitless beliefs, we can imagine the possibilities that we can produce with no obstacles. And when we have that vision, we break through to the other side. So I hope that helps.
And when we step into it, yeah. When we step into it, it's like when you get a new car. You don't remember your old car. You barely remember the old car's color. The new car is all there is, and that's what happens. You step out of that.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. I love that about the new car. I that's exactly the way I felt when I got my new car.
Right.
It was all
what
I
old
could,
car?
Could remember.
Right. That's the thing. Because it's new ownership, and the other, all of that other stuff is just but a faint memory. And a lot of times when the memory doesn't even serve us to even remember it, then it's gone as well. And that's even better, because that old paradigm is fading throughout consciousness, not just for people who are choosing, but people who aren't choosing. And if they're not choosing and they're using the old paradigm, then they get stuck trying to use the old rules on the new game, and it won't work. In fact, that's why I tell people that the game has changed. The game itself has changed. Not the rules have changed, but the whole game has changed. And so you can't use the way you did things before. It's like changing from football to soccer. The rules are dramatically different, and you're still pushing a ball back and forth, but it's not the same.
Right.
So,
The idea is to get ahead of the curve. The idea is to be in a place where you have your destination locked in, and you create a map you need to get to where your next level of life is. And once you find a truly clear, crystal clear direction and vision, you know, things that once bogged you down, slowed you down, no longer have any power to stop you from achieving anything. So. So this is what the reunification of ourselves has to do with. It's really dramatic stuff.
Yeah.
And we wake up, and the good thing about it is that we wake up when we do this, when we go through this process of reunification, we wake up every morning on fire. You know, we wake up wanting to experience a sense of excitement or for the day and a sense of accomplishment, which drives us into a much higher enjoyable level of life while also achieving, you know, great accomplishments in the process.
And speaking of driving, that old car didn't have cruise control, but the new one does.
Yes, definitely. So I'm going to ask Harrison to explain a little bit more about, you spoke about the energy shift and Maureen spoke about the rules changing and you about the old paradigms and they're not effective, just like the old car is not effective. So could you relate that and give us a pathway into how you're going to handle success principles?
Yeah, there is a energy shift on the planet, and what is happening is that we are emerging from 7,000 years of Piscean kind of paradigms whereby the male energy was dominant, whereby the everything was sequential by nature and didn't really reflect the way that the universe actually works. So what we're doing here as we begin to realize that the universe is not sequential, that your road to any goal is not a straight line. It never has been, never will be. There's always all these bumps and crannies and ups and downs in the process. We start to learn how to go for the real thing. We start to learn the self-responsibility that happens when we start to look inside and gain the insight of how things really work, the mechanics of cause and effect, the mechanics of the I am principles, which govern all energy, the mechanics of the fact that our thoughts and images create our reality, and the things that we say to ourselves create reality. So we will be working with the idea, the nature of infinity, the nature of the true infinity, that everything that we've learned both from science and religion until this time, we start to work in the area of not only time but timelessness. We start to create the emotions and the attention and the beliefs and the imagination and the actions that are necessary to create reality in the way we want to have experienced life. The reason why we came here, each of us came here for a reason. And as we come to begin to understand that, we choose a bigger, better identity. We start to work in personal experience, which then becomes magic. And then, you know, it creates domains of existence and new movies of life and, you know, life topics and miscellaneous things and all kinds of amazing kinds of power and trans-religious studies and empathy and, you know, communication and all kinds of great things that lead us to this place of what we call enlightenment, which is nothing but a state of deep relaxations and knowledge of who we are. But you know, it is this place where we leave ourselves off and step into the bigger picture of everything rather than just the little me. We go to the big me, which then encompasses all of everything. So,
one of the things that Harrison mentioned in the very beginning of this was this old paradigm, the Piscean paradigm. People have been taught to believe that events occur sequentially. And what happens is when they finally get this aha, that their little backward steps and forward movement, a few backward steps and a forward movement is the normal way we get where we're going. And that there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything right about it because it gives us security, it gives us insurance, it gives us understanding and compassion. Then it makes it so much easier to move forward and focus on the goal and not worry about the steps, whether they're forward or backward, because the ultimate goal is always forward. The ultimate change is always forward. And this can be found throughout the universe. In fact, we even find it in sacred geometry. And guys who follow the stock market using sacred geometry are looking for those dips and rises. When they reach a certain point, they know that everything's going to shift in a big way, and that's how they benefit from being day traders using the same principle that Harrison has described, but it actually can be described also in a mathematical way. And once people get it and they start to like get comfortable, as Harrison was saying, in their own bodies with this whole idea that change is not a straight line and transformation occurs in a very smooth but up and down kind of a way, they can, as you stated, relax into their full dimensionality, into their full potential.
So, Maureen, the ups and downs are, you said, I think, that you discover that through sacred geometry?
It can be proven through sacred geometry, right, because the people who trade in the stock market are actually using the formulas of sacred geometry to chart the ups and downs. And when they hit a certain point, they actually can recognize that as a trigger point, a pivotal point. I also call that, all that business with sacred geometry, source code. And that code can be identified and predicted and anticipated. And once we know that, then we don't have to worry about the how. We can just go for the outcome. And we're supposed to be co-creators. And the only way we can be co-creators is if we step into the fact that our job isn't to tell the how to get the taxi from LaGuardia to Manhattan, but to tell the taxi driver, I want to go to this hotel, and let the taxi driver pick the best tunnel or bridge and achieve the outcome with the least amount of resistance.
Oh, great. That's so interesting. Thank you for defining that.
I love that. Well, obviously sacred geometry is like the DNA of the universe, so it only makes sense that it would be incorporated in the outcome of everything that we do, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're into math, those who are listening, if you're really into the mathematics and you'd like to know something really cool, take any two numbers and add them sequentially. So if you start with 2 and 4, then the next number is 6. And the number of the addition between the last number and the second last number, that's 10. And then the next two numbers would be 16. And you keep adding until you have 10 actual additions. And then you divide the last one and the second last one after you've done 10 additions. And that division always produces phi, which is 1.618. And that's what I call source code for the universe. It's also called the golden mean or the golden ratio.
The golden ratio, yes.
And
that's so interesting.
Description of what I gave you is called the Phoenix Code. And that whole thing is described in a book on manifestation that I wrote called Be a Genie.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
Be a Genie. Yes, I read a little bit about that. That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the benefit for anyone who is coming to our workshop is that we're masters. Harrison and I are masters at identifying what's going on and then assisting the participant in qualifying how they can change and demonstrating the change. Harrison's great at demonstrating it in like the wording, and I'm great at demonstrating it conceptually. And the two together allow a person to operate in a whole new level instantaneously.
Long before our eyes see anything, our heart feels something. And so we learn to discern the truth if we live by our intuition. And if we live by our intuition, we are in a place of authority over reality. And this is the emergence of what's happening right now all over the planet. We are in the emergence of authority over reality, as opposed to letting authority over other people. So we step into the releasing of our fear of death. We step into the releasing of our fear of, the future and our past, which we have believed, we have criticized ourselves through authority dictates for so long, that we release that situation. We begin to rapidly empower ourselves. We get out of our stuckness. We have a place where we understand the difference between fantasizing and visualizing, and we step into the authority over reality, and thus we become powerful. And from that power, we can achieve anything we want, and it benefits everybody on the planet. we don't, one of the things that we have in common, both Maureen and I, and you and Dagny, Beth as well, we all have the idea that, you know, this is a planetary movement. There isn't a single group that knows this knowledge. There isn't a single group that needs this knowledge. It's everybody. And so when we start to come into we're all in the same boat together, now the information can become freely shared with each other and everybody benefits. When you're on a basketball team, when there's one shooter, you know, who's a star, he may be the guy who gets the most attention, but it's completely the team that wins. It's never the one guy. It's the passing of the ball back and forth that makes all the difference. And so the passing of the ball and the teamwork and the coordinated running, which we teach you how to do. We teach you how to keep that ball in play. You can't win if the ball isn't in play. And so what this process is reunifying all the parts of ourselves so that the balls can stay in place and play, and keeping our focus after setbacks, the power of being upright, the thoughts we become and the thoughts that become things. So as we learn this reunification process, it becomes authority over reality. And that is the most exciting thing that you can possibly do. It boosts your creativity about 99 ways, and your synchronicity and your cosmic interconnectedness and all the great things that overcome discouragement and sets you into a place of pure joy all the time. Not just some of the time, but all the time. Or at least 95% to 99% of the time. And when you're in that space, nothing can go wrong. I mean, you can have your dips, you can have your spikes, but nothing actually goes wrong because the dips are an addition and a springboard to bigger spikes on the top side. Go ahead,
Beth. Wonderful. I wanted to ask you a question about something you just mentioned, Harrison. You talked about not fantasizing, but visualizing. Can you give our listeners an idea of the difference between the two?
Yes. Okay. So the difference between fantasizing and visualizing is pretty dramatic, actually. So most of us have ideas that are way beyond our capacity sometimes to achieve immediately. So we have to shift viewpoints so that the subconscious isn't overwhelmed to deliver what we're talking about. So there are times when our viewpoint is one that is a little bit different than what we can actually achieve. So fantasizing is based on desire, which is really based on lack, and visualizing is based on belief or expectation. And, you know, you've noticed the things you've had excessive fantasies about never come true, right? So whereas the things you fully expect to happen do happen. And oftentimes that inner and almost subconscious expectations are there because of a past preference. And what happens is you've always kind of easily gotten a job, so you easily get a job the next time. You've always, you know, found a good partner in your life, so you get a good partner. And then you remember, you know, method X working, so method X works again. But if you've been asking yourself why millions of people who practice visualization, you know, in the way that they learned in The Secret or whatever the case may be, or New Age books, are not getting what they want, they're not visualizing in the sense of the word, they're fantasizing. So what's happening? Does this make sense? Is this making sense?
Yes, of course. I just
Let me just go on one quick thing and clarification there that I want to make. They're imagining things they don't believe in when you fantasize. They don't expect it to happen. They have no reference or preference. They have no reference for it. Fantasizing in such a way is actually detrimental to achieving your goals because it creates continued desire, which is continued lack. And continued desire creates continued lack. But if you don't have someone like a coach to remind you of these distinctions, you know, you could be going on for years creating lack without even knowing it. So you boost your belief in what you do. Yeah. So this is what part of the difference between fantasizing and visualizing. Yeah.
It's interesting. Harrison and I solved this dilemma in different ways before we ever met up. And he has defined accurately the idea of desire is the fantasy because it's not achievable. It's just a fantasy, something that's so big that you can't get your arms around. And the way that I was given through guidance to solve it was to go to a point beyond this desired outcome that proves it's a fait accompli. It's completely done. There's no way you know how it happened. So you're not worried or afraid or throwing up all those things that you would throw up that would keep you from achieving it. So you go to that place, and then you bring it into the reality by having a real-time conversation, and you actually have an imaginary conversation with a person that proves such and such occurred. So if the desire was to be with a beloved, you would go to an anniversary where you're celebrating how happy you are. You're celebrating the day we met or the day we got married or whatever it is. And you hear that person and what they say to you, and that anchors it into the reality in the same way that going to a belief changes how you are, because that belief is you're hearing, it becomes believable because you're hearing another voice in your head telling you it's real, because the mind cannot discern the difference between a physically imagined conversation that you hear in your head and a real one. And there's all kinds of studies that prove it. And that's why there's like a missing link in The Secret, because it misses the point that there has to be a way to anchor it here into 3D. So it's very cool because we're both naming the same problem, that the fantasy is the problem, and the ability to own it, to claim it, to live it, to be it, can come in many ways. And so we're offering up all that for people.
So you're
anchoring
that reference point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So creating a new reality is the art of fully really expecting something you haven't had a past preference for. So that is really
right.
Where the art exists. So either you simply remember your past successes so you can conclude that there's something similar and more for you in your future, or you release it and you go into a different modality. But you boost your visualization by acting it out or acting as if. But you could pretend it's a memory instead of a fantasy, and when you do that, you buffer the visualization, naming the examples of why you think you deserve it and why you think it can come true, and bingo, you got it. It's pretty much as simple as that, although that doesn't sound so simple, I know, in the explanation.
I think it's
fairly simple.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Harrison, that I think that that's one of the things that's so brilliant about the way you and Maureen are using the use of the word reunification, is it kind of brings it all together in a mind, body, spirit, what we don't see meets what we do see kind of, cohesion. And I think that's kind of where that sacred geometry, that DNA of the universe and spirit kind of lives. And so I'd love it if you'd talk a little bit with our audience about the how you're going to use the spirit principle, as you are calling it, in the documentation for this event that you have coming up in May, how you're discussing the spirit principle. And I'd also be curious to know if you see spirit principle as being different than consciousness principle, and if so, how?
Well, you know, I want to start off the answer to that by simply saying that, you know, what we have learned from quantum physics as well as ages of spirituality is that things that we observe are really an illusion. They are us in different frequencies that exist from the happening experience of our consciousness. Consciousness is spirit, if you will. The greater sense of consciousness is spirit. And everything is basically illusion that we experience. So everything we've been taught is wrong. Everything is as it seems, when in fact nothing is as it seems. We've been taught that what we see is real, when in fact everything we see is an illusion. We've been taught that our imagination is unreal, when in fact imagination is the very source of all reality. We've been taught that everything out there is known, when in fact we're surrounded completely by the unknown. You know, things are this or things are that. And in fact, they're not the things that we observe or we believe. Those are just interpretations. But as we step beyond the interpretation, we come into pure spirit. When we're in the interpretation mode, that's the little us. That's the us that thinks that physicality and events are something that happen outside of ourselves. As we step into the higher consciousness,
you know what?
As we step into the higher consciousness, the spirit of things, we see things in a very different light. You know, we form different perspective. We go into the unknown and allow the unknown to teach us instead of trying to teach the unknown or trying to, you know, accept the unknown. We allow the unknown to teach us so that, you know, we don't see the, so that we understand the whole process of we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And, you know, most of us think we know where we're coming from, but we don't really have the slightest idea where we're coming from. But when we begin to explore the I Ams, when we begin to explore the depth of who we are, go deeper or go higher, either way you want to call it, basically, you know, that's not too much. We step into the element of spirit, and spirit is the everything that exists. It is the foundation of all things in a quantum field, the potential of all possibilities, which is enormously untapped energy, which we focus by, which we shape by our focus. And everywhere
now,
we go, we inhabit the experiences of what we focus on. And it's just as simple as that. We simply inhabit,
now,
we are the experience. What?
One of the things that happens when people are with us is spirit and consciousness is so big that they get the resonance effect. So by being with us and being in resonance, they create, they're able to create for themselves the shift they are seeking. So like a spontaneous remission, a spontaneous transformation, it's like, here we are, we're teaching, and then all of a sudden there's this big shift because they're letting go of whatever they've been hanging on to because they get it, they own it, and they shift. And it is the fact that we're physically in the same room with these people that we're able to pull it off in such a grand way. It's possible over the phone, it's possible, you know, over Skype or any kind of transformational environment that you can create. But in a room with people and teachers like us, it happens almost by osmosis.
There
and that's
is
part
an
of the spirit in
principle.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, there's an entrainment principle that happens very, very simply. And, you know, our heart is really much more perceptive than our mind. And as we come together with people and we recognize the love of those people because of their evolvement or because of their experience or because of their simply intention, you know, we rapidly empower ourselves because everybody wants to be in the company of someone that has, you know, what something that they love or something that they care about or that makes them feel, you know, unstuck. And by that process, we awaken the inner hero within ourselves. And by awakening the inner hero, we come into this place of not only responsibility, but and when I say that, I don't mean responsibility in terms of duty. I mean being able to respond to all that happens in front of you. And we step into the power of the Most High. And it's not us. It's just something that is being there at the moment, and it's a recognition. It's a recognition of the all that is. And, you know, we take the science fiction and fantasy are really the closest things to spirituality, and we create the bridge between wanting and having and modes of awareness and, you know, discipline and law and all those other things that are, you know, necessary for us to experience the greater portion of ourselves. We are only experiencing in the little self, we're experiencing about 1% of what reality is because we're so focused on the body, the flesh, the concrete, the screens, the plastic, the cars, all those things. That's 1% of us. 99% of us is out there in the invisible. And that is what the power that moves things through our spirit, through our consciousness, through our eternal I am, if you will. So, and we step into the sense as we expand ourselves, we step into the sense of our eternal I am. There is no death. There's only just transition. And, you know, everything that is seen, felt, heard through our senses is only a piece of us that is very small compared to the bigger sense of ourselves, which is expansive in all of the universe. And as we recognize that, you know, the power of our story, the power of our desires, the power of our strength, the power of our focus becomes, you know, brilliant in the world and shines a light that, that people can't deny. They simply become it. Does that help at all?
Wow.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. I want to just remind our listeners, anybody who may have just been tuning in, that we are speaking with the that was just the amazing Harrison Klein, and we're also here with the beautiful Maureen St. Germain, who are having an upcoming event called A Gateway to Higher Consciousness, and we'll be giving the link to where you can learn more about that event coming up here in just a few minutes. That was beautiful, Harrison. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's these principles, these four principles that you're going to focus on in this event are, I think you guys are doing a beautiful job of having that come together: success, consciousness, spirit, and profit. They're all things that are really uplifting to the general human spirit to have those things come together in a cohesive and brilliant and light way. And we appreciate the fact that you are both pulling this event together, and we're so excited to be able to share what you're doing with our audience today.
Know what they say in Japan? You know what they say in Japan? They say you're welcome.
Hello. That's fine.
So,
I was going to ask you another question about the sequence of what you guys are going to be talking about, and I don't think we got to the profit one as much here. And profit can certainly mean different things to different people. Can you describe how this profit principle is going to be discussed during your event?
Okay. Well, we understand that, you know, in order to be profitable, we have to create value for other people. And, you know, the understanding is that as we choose to be fulfilled, as we choose to step into that area of, you know, discovery, you know, profit, our experience plus our awareness together with the direction and desire create profit. So basically, we make up our mind and get ready for the whole process of profit by imagining the possibilities without obstacles, by stepping into the ideas that root our creative processes, by the power of visualization, by, you know, the epidemic of creating satisfaction in what we do. And then profit is simply the byproduct of our evolvement in a way that serves other people. So when we eliminate the obstacles to success, you know, by simply giving us a roadmap that bypasses all the crap, we take on the challenges that are bigger, better, and we eliminate the excuses in the process and come into the place of profit. You know, we have some core attributes that really need to be understood, that need to be, you know, connected to. And as we take on the traits of the greats, and one of the things that I teach and I've been teaching lately, we take on the traits of the greats and how to absorb that into our experience. You know, whoever we decide is great, whether you're, you know, a John Lennon fan or you're, a George Soros fan, Warren Buffett fan, or, you know, a Obama fan or whatever. When you take on those traits and you understand the principles that come from the differences between winning and losing, and you understand the differences of not quitting and daring to be, we step into the power of profit. And the power of profit makes us bigger and serves better. And again, the whole thing about creating greatness in this world is about serving vast numbers of people. So, you know, if we begin to ponder that knowledge and we put it together with action, we get results. And results are basically profit, because, you know, nobody wants to stay at the same level. So profit is just another way of saying evolution. So,
you know. Very good. Yeah. Results are profits, evolution. Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Maureen, do you have some thoughts to add regarding the profit principle that you'll be handling in workshops?
Yes, I'd love to. The idea that profit is a beneficial outcome of a beneficial act is transformational. So part of the process is recognizing, where are we serving? Who are we serving? And we're not serving ourselves. We are driven to serve everyone else. We are driven to provide for others. And even a person who says, well, I want to make a lot of money, still wants to do something that has value. And once they recognize that what they're doing has value, and that that value is appreciated by somebody else, as Harrison said, the outcome is a simplistic idea, a simplistic ownership, that I'm actually helping them, and they're grateful to help me in return. And it becomes a consciousness shift on how you look at profit and how you look at profits, and accepting the ability to have profits as an outcome, as a byproduct.
Profit is an outcome. I love that. It's like a reciprocal thing.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
Yes.
As we increase our understanding of the whole resistance and rebellion situation, we step into the place of where we have a tendency to be conscious servers or conscious, you know, contributors to what we are. We couldn't help it, because that's who we are. As in our natural state, we are all contributors to each other. We recognize the contributions that we make, and we recognize that we deserve, you know, to be rewarded for the contributions that we make. The reason why a lot of people don't make profit or don't create the money they want or the experiences that they want have to do with, you know, these limited beliefs, shame, fear, guilt, all those kinds of things. But as we most of us for a long time in our lives, because of the conditioning we experience, are a bundle of confusion. But as, you know, we begin to step out of that bundle of confusion, as we breathe in, breathe out, and allow that to be, you know, the natural state of who we are, we contribute to other people's well-being. And in whatever form, whether it be in products or services or goods or just information, as we contribute to other people, we have the right to deserve. As we have greater ideas of self-esteem, as we come into the place where we appreciate ourselves more, we are willing to receive, and the universe is always willing to give. It's a yes universe.
In fact, I have a shortcut name for this, and it's called Everyone Has a Contract with the Universe. Exercise your options. And
yeah,
when you realize that, when you realize that, then all you have to do is show up and do your part, and the universe will fulfill. And it's that level of expectation, as Harrison was describing earlier, that creates a stasis, a permanent change in you that allows you to recognize, well, I showed up, I did my part, it's just a matter of whether I'm going to get my money in this corner or this corner. And that's a very powerful shift, because it changes everything. You know, one of the tools that I teach people in a very simplistic way is, if you get a bill you weren't expecting, you know, say you placed some advertising and then you forgot about it, or you bought something and forgot that it's going to go on your credit card, and you get this big bill and you're thinking, oh my God, how am I going to cover that? Instead, say, well, the universe must know something I don't know, because I have this bill. It must mean there's money coming in. And it changes the reality. It literally changes reality in an instant. Another thing I tell people in terms of how you handle money and work with money, and this has to do with profit, because how you handle money on your own personal is also going to reflect in your business. So, for example, when you handle money, you're in a place of gratitude. You take the opportunity to be in a place of gratitude, and you always give yourself the answer, yes. So when you want to buy something, instead of saying, I can't afford it, you say, I could have this, but I'm choosing to not get it because I don't really like it that much. I already have this. Two more black skirts. I don't need a third one. And what happens is we create abilities to have rather than abilities to not have.
I'm sorry, there's some background noise going on that makes it a little bit... Okay,
yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. Called,
did,
that,
did you guys hear me? Did you guys
yes.
hear me? Okay, because I didn't know if I was still on the call. I thought I might have gotten kicked off. So when
no,
we come into the
background noise.
Oh, okay. When we come into the idea of unconditional money, it's just as easy as unconditional love because it's always present, and it's just plucking from what's already there. You know, the Chinese, I believe, or maybe it's the Buddhists, have a saying that goes, from abundance, he took abundance, and still there was abundance. So there's enough out there for everybody all the time. And we, by having a lot and plenty, it doesn't mean we're in any way, shape, or form, you know, taking anything away from anybody else, because there's always enough for everybody. And that's one of the biggest fallacies of the evolution of the societal economies. You know, we believe that there's
right.
scarcity
been,
and we compete with each other.
We've all been taught or trained to believe that there's a limitation. I mean, we've all heard this phrase from our parents, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. But in reality, it isn't about money. It's about energy, and energy is limitless. We have an unlimited resource, and all we have to do is garner it. You know, it's not necessarily handed to us, but if the field is full of potatoes, if the tree is full of peaches, all they're there for our taking. They're there for our ownership, but they're there for everyone else too. So if there's no limit. There's always something that is available to us as we reclaim our right to have and reclaim our right to be in this powerful place of manifesting, which is our new normal.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And understand that love is prosperity, that the more you love, the more you evolve yourself, and the more peaceful you become, the more prosperous you become. It's not even something you have to do. It's something you become.
I sign every check with money is love.
Aw,
because
that's really nice.
I believe that, and then I always write a million thanks, and, you know, it creates an energetic blueprint. You know, we send every person who buys in our website, for example, a thank you that says, we wish you a million blessings.
Why
not?
Really nice.
There's no limit, right? I can give out a million. Harrison can give out, he's going to give out 5 million. I know it.
That's awesome. I just want to say again that we're talking to Maureen St. Germain. She is an author, a mystic, a teacher, has so many amazing things going on. And we're also speaking with Harrison Klein, a master transformationalist on the planet. And they are creating they're pulling their superpowers together to create a gateway to higher consciousness event. I want to make sure that folks know how they can get more information about that. The link that's right on the site where you may be listening to this show is longer. It's Maureen St. Germain's /event/gateway to higher consciousness. However, I've created a shorter link for you. If you want to write this down, it is http://tiny.cc/gateways. tiny.cc/gateways. And you can go there. You can learn more about the event. You can sign up. And, gosh, you know, we really hope that you take advantage of all of this amazing wisdom these two have to share, because this is really exciting and fun, I think.
You were talking about energy a second ago. You were talking about energy a second ago, Maureen, and we were talking before the show started about the interesting experiences some people are having right now, experiencing with their energy during this Mercury in retrograde. And you mentioned that you had something that you do, a prayer, I believe you said. Can you tell us a little bit about
yes.
that?
Yes, it's really simple. You simply ask the universe to antidote all the disadvantages of Mercury retrograde and claim all the benefits of Mercury retrograde. And the first time I did this, I was flying home from Hawaii back to the Midwest in Wisconsin. And I actually got to my destination an hour earlier because I actually caught a flight that was running late because I would have had a longer wait in Chicago. So I caught the flight that was before my flight and actually got home an hour earlier. And then another trip on my flight from Detroit to Hawaii, same deal. We stuck on the tarmac for an hour, and I made the invocation, and I still made my destination an hour earlier, again, catching that last feeder flight an hour earlier without any expectation, just antidote. I asked the universe to antidote all the disadvantages of Mercury retrograde, and I ask for all the benefits of Mercury retrograde. Now, I have to tell you that I sat at dinner one night across from an owner, a very famous company of a book company, and I was, you know, postulating about all the benefits of Mercury retrograde, and I didn't know he was an accomplished astrologer, and he looked at me, Maureen, what could possibly be the benefits of Mercury retrograde? So, thinking I was being very cool and clever, I said, well, for one thing, it's a great time for a rewrite. And he looked at me without skipping a beat and said, Maureen, anytime's a good time for a rewrite.
That's Maureen. Great. So an antidote, antidote to the, yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. That's fun.
And it does, well, you know, does work. It does shift the energy. And again, it's because there's a lot of people who don't, as Harrison said, it doesn't have to affect you. If you're in a place of such high vibration, none of that hits you. But there's also a place where we're dipping in and out of that. And so the benefit of knowing, if you already know it, that there's a retrograde, the benefit of knowing how to call in the antidote is then you maintain your momentum. Now, we all have to ask ourselves, why are there retrogrades? And the answer is to get us to slow down, to get us to take a break. And even though we want to be able to put our systems and our machines on automatic, we also want to honor our need for rest. Every one of us sleeps at night. Every one of us should be taking breaks to enjoy life, to enjoy family, and all of that. And so that's part of this like new normal, this new way of being that makes it totally comfortable that you can produce what you need for yourself in a way that allows you to take time off and enjoy life and enjoy family. Part of the reason people work so hard is because they're trying to get to that place where they can, I'll use the word get ahead or get to where they want to go. Now, there are many people like Harrison and I who enjoy our work so much that we tend to accept more gigs maybe than we should. But that's another matter of having the joy of working with people that gives us more joy. So,
well, thank you so much for that, Maureen. That's a great thought to leave with people about taking time for rest and taking care of yourself. And I never thought about retrograde in that way before. And this hour has gone so fast, and I thought we might just wrap it up by a quick thought from both of you, something you'd like to leave our audience with. Harrison, you want to start?
Okay, well, you know, becoming a prosperous and successful person of money and business and spirit, really, that successfully puts you into a new realm of energy, the next higher level in your own evolution. And that's part of what we do. So the accumulation of thousands of decisions and choices that shape our unique destinies and realities are what we sometimes need to understand. So one of the untold secrets of all these things is the reunification of the parts of ourselves that have been disowned. And so what Maureen and I want to do is we want people to come to recognize the richness of their lives so that they know what a spiritual act is, so that they radiate not resentment or hatred or fear or difficulty, but they radiate not poverty or lack, but richness and joy and amazement, and come into the supreme force that created all the universes and energies, and the earthly riches seem small compared to that. So as we reunify, we become this greater understanding of the supreme force that we all are.
And absolute my short is real simple. Real narrow,
yes.
And it's a phrase you can use every day, and it will change the reality right here and right now. And it's this: I am asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with, and so can you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, both of you. Harrison, Maureen, it's been just a real joy to have this hour with both of you, and we wish you much success with your unification event. And we're going to just sign off here from Dagny and I. See you next time. Peace, everybody.
Blessings.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Peace out.
Awaken your inner hero.
Thank you for tuning in to Echoes of the Universe. Join us again for conversations that inspire you to realize your endless possibilities. Same time, same station, same universe.